US calls for ceasefire, keeps attacking Yemen. In case you missed it, U.S. efforts to prolong the world's most serious humanitarian crisis in Yemen continue to succeed spectacularly. U.S. military support enables the Saudi coalition to continue to bomb markets, docks, mosques, hospitals, school buses, weddings and funerals, and other civilian targets with impunity. The Yemenis have no effective air defenses. On March 26, 2015, with the blessing and tactical support of the Obama administration, Saudi regime and its comrades in crime launched an illegal, genocidal, aggressive war on Yemen. Since March 2015, the U.S. and the Saudi coalition have subjected Yemen to daily war crimes, not only killing civilians but destroying non-military targets of all sorts, causing a form of biological warfare with a cholera plague as well as massive famine for more than half the country's 28 million people. The U.N.'s World Food Program head said on September 27th, "Yemen is a disaster, and I don't see any light at the end of the tunnel right now." Yemen was not a significant issue in the American election, even as the Trump administration sanctioned and supported military escalation that heightened the suffering of millions and that has already killed tens or maybe hundreds of thousands. At the U.S. State Department on November 7th, the press briefing focused on the ideological basis for punishing Iran for continuing to abide by the nuclear agreement that the U.S. pulled out of. The U.S. blames Iran for Yemen too, with no evidence whatsoever to support the propaganda bias. Eventually, in the briefing, there was a question about Yemen, which the State Department spokesman, Robert Paladino, avoided answering quite embarrassedly, as the U.S. is a major partner in the crimes committed by the Saudi regime and its accomplices. Within the context of pervasive American deceit regarding Yemen, spokesman Paladino probably allows for some technical truths to appear. Yes, after the U.S. called for a ceasefire, the Saudis escalated their bombing of humanitarian targets. The Saudis may or may not have consulted with the U.S., but the Trump administration has no stomach for criticizing this bloodshed any more than it actively objects to the gutting of Jamal Khashoggi. According to Paladino, the destruction of critical infrastructure or destruction of the delivery of vital aid and commercial goods is unacceptable, which seems to be a statement of law and decency acceptable to any humane observer. Paladino implies the lie that these crimes against humanity are unacceptable to the U.S., but he doesn't actually say that. Clearly, having spent years enabling the Saudis in committing war crimes, the U.S. finds the destruction of Yemen quite acceptable. That's what Paladino really means when he says the U.S. is closely following the developments in the hope that Yemeni carnage can somehow persuade the Iranians to trust us. Okay, what about that U.S. call for a ceasefire? Why isn't that working? On October 31st, U.S. Secretary of War Jim Mattis spoke about Yemen at the U.S. Institute of Peace with presumably unconscious irony. Mattis said self-contradictorily and revealingly, "We've got to move towards a peace effort here, and you can't say we are going to do it sometime in the future. We need to be doing this in the next 30 days. We've admired this problem for long enough down there." Later the same day, U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo issued a statement, "The time is now for the cessation of hostilities. Substantive consultations under the U.N. Special Envoy must commence this November in a third country. It is time to end this conflict, replace conflict with compromise, and allow the Yemeni people to heal through peace and reconstruction." There was not a tweet from the president in all this. Can one presume anything from that? In September, Pompeo certified to Congress over the objections of staff that the Saudis and their allies were trying to reduce civilian casualties and the U.S. should continue to support them. This was before the Saudi escalation on Hodeidah. There is no credible evidence anywhere that the U.S. is serious about doing anything to end the murder of Yemenis. Pompeo proposed that the ceasefire start with Ansarullah ending their rocket attacks on Arabia. That's the way the U.S. deals with aggressive war in the 21st century. Support the aggressor and demand that the victim stop resisting. And the Trump administration is even considering labeling Ansarullah fighters as a terrorist organization, presumably following a logic that would have made the 1943 Warsaw ghetto resistance into terrorists. Bad faith has no limits. Both Mattis and Pompeo tried to appear as if they were taking immediate action, while in the next breath putting off any action for the near future. The supposed ceasefire has now receded towards 2019 as the UN's Yemen envoy bows to the reality of US inaction and Saudi escalation. If the U.S. were actually serious about peace and humanitarian aid for Yemen, the U.S. could exercise leadership in the U.N. Security Council to force a peace process. The U.S. could unilaterally take immediate and forceful actions to stop the war. Pompeo could rescind the bad joke of certifying the Saudis as conscientious and responsible. That might not be enough, so Mattis could disengage the U.S. military from the genocidal bombing campaign. Without U.S. support, including cluster bombs and other ordnance, the Saudi aggression would falter if not fail. Rather than act rationally, Pompeo and Mattis chose to posture and preen in a charade of peace-loving rhetoric. Well, their hollow performance was on Halloween after all, and that was perhaps the point. This was high-level U.S. dishonesty, a shabby trick-or-treat deceit. It's all trick for Yemen and endless treats for the Saudis. And for its lack of trouble, the U.S. gets more and more blood on its hands. Late on Friday, November 9th, the U.S. and Saudis announced that at some unstated future time, the U.S. will stop refueling Saudi bombers attacking Yemen. This is a cynical charade that will do nothing to reduce the bloodbath in Yemen, but may fool the gullible in the U.S. that protest works. First of all, with U.S. help, the Saudis have developed their own mid-air refueling capability. The cessation of U.S. refueling will have zero impact on Saudi war-making capacity. The U.S. will continue to support the Saudi targeting program. The U.S. will continue to provide the Saudis with military intelligence. The U.S. will continue to supply the Saudis with weapons and ordnance, including cluster bombs designed to kill people and most effective against civilians. The U.S. will continue to support the Saudi naval blockade, a primary cause of hunger and famine in Yemen. None of these or other elements of U.S. participation in this illegal genocidal war are addressed in War Secretary Mattis's expertly opaque and misleading statement. The U.S. War Secretary James Mattis said in a misleading statement, The U.S. and the coalition are planning to collaborate on building up legitimate Yemeni forces to defend the Yemeni people, secure their country's borders, and contribute to counter al-Qaeda and Daesh efforts in Yemen and the region. The U.S. and the coalition are the main attackers of most of the Yemeni people. The best defense for the Yemeni people is for the attacker. The best defense for the Yemeni people is for the attackers to stop attacking, since the Yemenis remain well within their own borders. Southeastern Yemen is titularly under the control of the legitimate Yemeni government based in Riyadh, but is effectively under a military dictatorship run by the United Arab Emirates. Eastern Yemen, which is thinly populated, is under fragmentary control of multiple forces, including Daesh and al-Qaeda, whose fortunes have been greatly enhanced by the U.S.-Saudi obsession with preventing people from controlling their own country. Mattis is trying to put rouge on a monster and call it beautiful. U.S. policy in Yemen continues to be based on profound lies with no moral justification. Oh, look, Mattis seems to say, we are washing our hands of refueling bombers committing war crimes. Even in its narrow truth, this does nothing to support life or peace, and U.S. hands remain drenched in blood. Dear listeners, that was authored by William M. Boardman, who has over 40 years of experience in theater, radio, TV, print journalism, and nonfiction.